while we're dismissing here, how many of you watched the Azusa Street Now yesterday? Okay. So not everybody, a good number of you, though. I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes, but we were greatly, Fred and I both, profoundly impacted by, I mean, the whole thing. But there was one two-hour segment that I think was, actually, it was a little more than an hour segment. It wasn't 2 hours. That was, it was so powerful that both of us looked for about an hour this morning on the internet to try to find it. We couldn't find it. But that was going to be the message today. So I'm hoping we can find it by next Sunday because it was just, I texted Fred because I was here, you know, facilitating our work, our thing here, which is, Lynn mentioned, was really great to be together with brothers and sisters, experiencing it together. And he was at home, and then he was coming a little later to take my place. And I said, man, are you watching this? And he goes, yeah. And I said, I'm undone. He says, I am too. So we were both just, so we'd really like to make that available to everybody. And so we'll see if we can do that. Yeah, it was the hour segment of the Native American Indian worship following into the blowing of the shofars and the playing of the drums, following into, possibly we can put it all together, the worship by the African American worship leader. It was just all, it was just powerful. Yes?
Did you hear about the...
Yeah. Yeah. So God's at work. That's the understatement, I realize. So the question is, are we going to move with God? Are we going to be comfortable in our own existence? You know, we can point our finger at churches for whom we feel are very comfortable in very traditional ways, and people in those churches seem to have a difficulty getting out of their comfort zones. My mother and her husband and one of my brothers and his wife, they're part of a church in Louisville. I've mentioned this before, but it's 20,000 people. It's a church. It's huge. And the auditorium sanctuary holds about 10,000 people. The founding pastor has retired. And in fact, how many of you know Mosaic Church here? And okay, that's a church plant out of this church in Louisville. Yeah. So the founding pastor is retired, and he came back Easter Sunday to do a special service, traditional Easter service, with hymns, traditional message, everything. It was at 8 o'clock in the morning. It was the first service. All the people showed up there with coats and ties, and women with their Easter hats. You want to guess how many people came? 10,000 people. 10,000 people. That was just their first service. They had three services that day. They might have had a couple on Saturday. I'm not sure. My wife and I joined our oldest son and his daughter at Mosaic for their service, their Easter service on, couldn't be here, couldn't go Sunday morning, obviously. So we went on Saturday afternoon. The young pastor there, who is from that church, he grew up in that church. I talked to him afterwards. He's in his 30s. He was up there with tattered jeans, and not quite a T-shirt, but not a dress shirt at all, no tie. And the place was packed. So, bit of a contrast, wouldn't you say? So we can point our fingers at these things, but can we also become comfortable? Do we not have a certain routine that we follow? Do we have certain traditions that we adhere to? And I'm not saying tradition's wrong or bad. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But can we think, because of how many of you came to know the Lord and or were filled with the Holy Spirit during what has been termed now the charismatic renewal? How many hands? Well, look at all the hands. A lot of hands, okay? Now, how many of you also subsequently touched either Brownsville or Toronto in some way? Okay, a lot of hands there too. Okay, so we can all think that because God moved in a certain way at a certain time, that's the way he's going to move again. Is that right? Huh? Yeah? And we can become what I call settlers. Settlers, okay? Yeah, some of you know where I'm going. And if you don't know where I'm going, I think you'll still enjoy where I'm going. So,
Father, why can't we have DirecTV like the McGregors do?
We're settlers, son. We settle for things, like having cable instead of DirecTV.
Hey, Jebediah, how's it going?
Working the land, hoping for a fertile spring.
All right.
So, we have to live with lower customer satisfaction?
I'm afraid so. Now, go churn us some butter, boy, and then make your own clothes.
Yes, sir.
Don't be a settler. Yeah! Get rid of cable and upgrade to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
Dear, why don't we switch to DirecTV?
Now, Mother, we are settlers. I've settled for cable all my life.
But DirecTV has been number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 15 years.
We find our satisfaction elsewhere. The boy has his stick and hoop. The girl, her faceless doll. And you have your cabbages.
And you have your foot stomping.
I sure do. Don't be a settler. Get rid of cable and upgrade to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
Can you say, we did, true confession, huh? Yeah. So we can be that way, can't we? We can get comfortable in what we think is what God's doing. Now, don't say amen too quickly, okay, but to what I'm going to say next. But I think I've taken all these spiritual gifting tests, and I have to admit, I'm not, prophetic is not my highest, okay? But it was very interesting to me, this is not a promotion of me, because it's actually the opposite, because I actually feel like I was a chicken. Some of you know this, because I shared it at the noon prayer time. About a month ago, I was praying about the Azusa Street happening here in California, Azusa Now, on my prayer walk. And I felt the Lord impress me that it was going to rain all day. And I didn't have the guts to, I thought, just, you know, California, Southern California, it's always sunny in Southern California, right? I mean, you know, it never rains. So, and I heard the song, Let It Rain, you know, and I felt in the evening the sun was going to come out, you know, and I, you know, the people I was praying with said, you need to write to Lou Engle and tell him. I thought, Lou Engle doesn't know who I am. He's going to look at that and go, you got to be kidding me, you know. So I didn't have the guts to do that. A few months ago, I shared with you that I believe that in the next move of God, that a big part of that was going to be the African-American church. And what I believe, and again, some of you were able to watch this from beginning to end. I know a lot happened during the course of 15 hours. But to me, the centerpiece, if I can call it that, the centerpiece, which is what beats in the heart of Lou Engle, was reconciliation. That was the centerpiece. And it was reconciliation not only between black and white, but also Jew and Gentile, Native American Indian, and excuse me? Denominational. Yeah, I was going to get to that. Thank you. Yeah, denominational churches. I was undone with all of that, and then I thought, okay, I've been undone. That's it. You know, there couldn't be anything more. And then Lou Engle has these two men on stage who are from Italy that were, I don't know if they came from the Vatican. Did anybody catch that? I couldn't quite understand that. If they actually came, but they represented the Catholic Church in some official way. And Lou Engle gets down, and he's kissing their feet. This is where we stand, brothers and sisters. We want to align ourselves with that. Okay? And let me just say that when you make that choice, it's not a popular choice. Not everyone is going to say, oh, wow, yes and amen. We've already had a couple that came to our church a few months ago that once they found out that we don't bash Catholics, that we're very supportive of the Catholic Church, we feel that we're aligned with them in many ways, not every way, obviously, but that we're not going to launch criticism, they left. I know some of the Alliance churches that would not feel the same way we do about God's purpose for the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Not everybody's going to agree with us. So we have to make a decision. Are we going to align ourselves with what God's doing? Because he's bringing about this reconciliation. You know, this didn't happen in the previous Great Awakenings. This didn't happen. And I believe that God has a purpose in every one of his awakenings. When Jonathan Edwards read his message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he was reading it. Was it nearsighted? Farsighted, when you have to lead up close. He had it like this, reading in a monotone. People were grabbing the edges of the pews, feeling they were going to fall into the pit of hell. Do you know that message would probably not go over very big today? Huh? Yeah. When William Seymour launched what became Azusa Street, and he didn't have any grandiose, spectacular plans for it to become what it became, an African-American man, there was a measure of reconciliation that was seen at the beginning, but it didn't last. You know, he died at a young age of 52 of a heart attack. And his church was primarily an all-African-American church when he died. I believe God is up to something new and different. And it's going to look different than what we've seen before. And I believe it's going to meet. And now, I'm looking in the faces of men and women, most of whom I know. And most of you I know would say, well, I have no problem. I don't have any strong racial prejudices. It'd be wonderful if we had more African-American faces in our room. It'd be wonderful if we had more Asian faces in our room or Hispanic faces in our room, you know, fill in the blank. And I believe that's true. But there's a difference between being accepting and being intentional. And I believe God's calling us to a place of being intentional, of intentionally making a difference. Intentionally investing ourselves in the lives and places of people that we might not be as comfortable about. Intentionally moving forth. You know, it was powerful in the Azusa Street when these African Americans got up, and there was even the uncle of the man that was killed in Ferguson. And I don't know what you heard in that, but what I heard was, can you enter into our pain? Can you enter into our pain? You know, when we look at people of another race or another culture, the Native American Indians, I don't know how many of you are familiar with that culture, but suicide and alcoholism is rampant. I mean, it is a huge, huge problem. And we can look at the African-American culture, we can look at our inner cities and the problems and the issues, and we can say, yes, but, you know, if this were to happen, or if they were to do that, or if these choices were made instead of those choices, instead of saying, I want to invest myself in that situation in the midst of the pain and the suffering. Where did Jesus invest himself? What was he criticized for? Hobnobbing with the sinners, wasn't it? He was with the sinners. And who were the ones that threw the accusations at him? The religious people, didn't it? Weren't they? They were the ones. They were saying, he's not fitting into our mold of what we think a good Jewish man should be, if I can say it that way. You know, he's acting outside of the norm. He's spending time with sinners, with tax collectors. And these, I think we all know this, but just in case there's someone here this morning that doesn't know, these were not Gentile sinners. These were Jewish sinners. They were Jews who were prostitutes, who were tax collectors, who were other swindlers, sinners, whatever way, fill in the blank. They were Jewish people. And he said, I need to spend my time with these, the marginalized people. Well, I believe God began something. I believe the ground was set for what began yesterday. I believe the soil was tilled, if I can say it that way. And I'm not prophetic enough to say all that we're going to see from that. But I do believe that it was a Kairos moment. And, you know, I know we all wish there were 100,000 people there. I don't know the final count. I've heard 30,000. I personally, and I'm not great with numbers, but I'm going to guess maybe 50,000. And the reason I'm saying that is because if that stadium was full, it'd be 100,000. But that doesn't account for people being on the ground, you see? Yeah. So that whole ground area was filled, and about half the stadium was filled. So, you know, maybe 50,000. But there were enough that it was very impressive, you know? It was really amazing. And mostly young men and women, which is equally exciting. Because that's what we need to be thinking about. I'm looking in the eyes of people who, your hair is graying. Either that or you're coloring it, okay? One of the two. And that's okay if you're coloring it. Don't get me wrong. That's fine. I love the fact, especially with women. Men, I don't know. But with women, you know. I thought about that this morning. I ought to color my hair. If I could find that thing, you just color it like for one day. You know, and you wash it. You just wash it out. Washes out right away, you know. I thought I'd show up Sunday morning and say, what do y'all think, you know? Thumbs up, thumbs down, you know. What do you think? Blue. How many vote for blue? You know, so anyway, the point is that we need to be passing the baton to the next generation. Okay, it's no longer all about us. Okay, and as baby boomers, that's very hard to do because we all like to think it's all about us, but it's never been about us. I think we all know that, right? It's always been about him. And it's even less about us because we need to start passing this to the future leaders in the church, the kingdom of God. Well, that was just a little introduction, okay? I want to talk to you this morning about renewal. And let me give you a definition here. Renewal is a supernatural touch from God our Father, which causes us to experience his grace in a renewed way that takes us beyond our circumstances and into his presence. Okay, let's read that again. Renewal is a supernatural touch from God our Father, which causes us to experience his grace in a renewed way that takes us beyond our circumstances and into his presence. So the goal is to be in the presence of God. How many of you know when we're in the presence, everything looks different? Yeah. Now, we all know, I mean, there is an aspect of God being what the theologians call omnipresent. What does that mean? Everywhere. Everywhere, right? Everywhere. In fact, the psalmist declares that in Psalm 65. He says, oh God, in Zion, to you even silence is praise. Wow, that's pretty cool. This is the Passion Translation, by the way. To you even silence is praise. You are the God who answers prayer. All of humanity comes before you with their request. And then it goes on in verse 8, and this is from the NIV version. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. How many of you love to put pictures on Facebook of sunrises or sunsets? Dave Fritz, there we go. I got two confessions here. Yes. I mean, they declare the Lord's glory, don't they? Let me ask you a bit of a theological question at this point. Can someone who doesn't have a personal relationship with the Lord pray and have their prayer answered? Whoa, that was a resounding yes. Okay, well, I don't have to defend that argument then. Okay, yes, I agree. In fact, that was part of my conversion. I mean, I was in a desperate place the end of my junior year, and I said, God, help. And if you're there, I didn't say God, help. I said, if you're there, God, help. I need your help. And I felt the Lord answered that prayer, and I was like, whoa, he must really exist. That kind of launched me into his purposes. So the whole earth, so there is this aspect of God's presence being everywhere all the time. And then there's the aspect of us knowing his presence. But before I go there, just another quote here, Robert Browning. Earth crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. How about that, huh? So there is this aspect of this omnipresence, and there's aspect of our personal relationship with God. God wants to have a personal relationship with us. Even going back before we get to the birth of our Messiah, his earthly birth, in Lamentations we read, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed by his compassions. We are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new, I put renewed, every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So every morning we wake up, we have an opportunity to connect with God, yes? Yeah. Now, and that connection may not be the same all the time. I'm reminded of, I've been doing some premarital counseling with Justin and Nicola, who are going to be married in 2 weeks. And we did some while they were here for the Christmas break, and the rest we've had to do via Skype. And everybody knows what Skype is, right? I know we got some folks here some of our seasoned folks may or may not know, but anyway. Settlers, yeah. Some settlers here that may not know what Skype is yet. I like that. Thanks, Paul. Settlers. You gave me the word I was looking for. So, you know, I really wasn't sure if this was going to work in terms of doing premarital counseling. You know, is this really going to work out well? And actually, it's worked out better than I expected. I won't digress and give any details. But let me just say this before I take a small tangent here. I love to do premarital counseling. It's one of the favorite things I do. And the three biggest problems in marriage... Three biggest problems in marriage: money, communication, sex. All right? Sex, money, communication. Those are three biggest problems in marriage. We cover all those with the couples I work with, but I believe the biggest problem is communication. I believe that's like the root problem. If we can get the communication right, then the other things can work themselves out. Okay? So I do a lot of exercises with the couples that I'm working with in communication, to help them learn to communicate with one another, to help them to hopefully find out before they get married things that they may not know about one another, or expectations. Paul mentioned expectations they might have for one another. Okay, one of my favorite stories I like to tell is about a couple where this guy had this enormous fish tank, like it would like cover the wall with these tropical fish in it, and it was beautiful. And his bride-to-be, he says, now you're going to join with me in this hobby, are you not? And she said, sure. And she says, wow, they're just beautiful fish and all. So they get married, and about 6 months after the marriage, he says, hey, I got plane tickets for us to take a trip. I want to make sure you can get off work. And she says, okay, where are we going? He goes, we're going to Brazil. She goes, wow, really? Rio de Janeiro? We're gonna go to the Amazon. Oh, like a cruise on the Amazon River. He goes, no. He says, that's where I go and I dive for my fish, to collect my fish in the Amazon River. And she's like, I don't think I bargained for this, you know? So again, my goal is to help them learn good communication techniques and to understand one another as best as possible before they enter this covenant of marriage. And so what I found with the Skype is that even though I'm not physically present, we can not only communicate, but it actually has a little advantage to it because I'm not actually in the room with them, I feel like there's a freedom to share that might not be as great if I was actually there. So you've heard the proverbial saying, I wish I was a fly on the wall, you know? Well, I kind of feel like that sometimes. You know, I'll throw out this question, and I'm just sitting there watching them go back and forth, and I'm going, wow, this is really good. This is cool. They're really talking about this. This is great, you know? And so it actually, what I thought might have been a negative thing has actually turned out to be a very positive thing. So now why did I say all that? Well, I believe that in our relationship with the Lord, that there is a place for every believer where we have that relationship with him, but it's like looking at him in the computer screen with Skype or listening to him in the same way. It's not really feeling his presence. See, you can't feel someone's presence if they're not right there with you. Yes? So Zephaniah says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So God desires us to be in his presence. And I love this. David, writing in the Psalms, says, I tried to understand all this, but it was too hard for me to see until I went into the temple of God, and then I understood. What was different for him about being in the temple of God? The presence. He was in the presence. When my wife and I, when Linda and I were in Louisville two weeks ago now, most of you know my mom was in the hospital. She came out. She went into rehab. She was not making the progress they were expecting in rehab. She was faithful to all the exercises, everything they expected her to do. She was eating, but nothing was happening. It's like two steps forward, two steps back. And then they discovered that the bile duct from her liver that they'd opened with a stent had closed the duct from her pancreas, which emits enzymes into your small intestine, so the food was not breaking down. So she wasn't getting any nourishment. So basically she was starving herself to death while doing exercise, which is not a good thing, you know. So we were there as they got her on an enzyme and things began to change, okay? They were improving, but the question was whether or not she could go home on Monday, a week ago tomorrow. And I was with her that Saturday night. She'd called the house. Lynn and I were back at the home with Ed. We were watching the basketball games. And she called about 8:30, said, I'm in tremendous pain. I don't know what to do. And Ed, in his typical engineering fashion, said, well, ask the nurse. Ask her what to do, you know. So engineers fix it. Get it fixed, you know. So she says, Randy, I want you to come and be with me. So, well, let's talk to the nurse, see what she says, or he says. It was actually a male nurse. And so anyway, so 9:15, I called her, how you doing? I'm still in pain. I said, okay, I'll be right over. It's just 5 minutes away. So I was there from 9:30 to about 12:30 in the morning. And again, I know many of you have been with your parents who, as they've aged and had difficulties much longer than that, so I'm no medals for that. But and she was feeling better. And I felt I knew why she was having the problem, what was causing it. And I talked to the nurse about it, and he agreed, and we got her help, and she was doing much better. So Sunday comes. Now we're faced with a dilemma. Does she come home Monday or not? Because of the way she'd been feeling. And we're leaving Monday, Linda and I, early Monday morning. What do we do? I've got two other brothers there, so there's some support there. It's not like they don't have any support. I didn't know what to do. So I went in the presence of the Lord, like David. I said, God, help. Help me to see a solution. I don't see an answer at the moment. And I felt the Lord say, ask Linda if she could stay here for the week. Now, Linda had to get off work to do that. So there's a lot of hoops to jump. My mother had to be accepting of that. My two brothers had to be accepting of that. All those bases had to be covered. So I said, okay. So I started with Linda. Then I called my brothers. Then Linda called her work. And that Sunday night, we all talked to my mom. And everyone is in agreement. And Linda was an incredible blessing to my mom and her husband this week. She was a saint. I mean, she was an angel. Just amazing the help she gave. Changed my flight from early morning to Monday night so I could be there to bring her home, to her home, which is a two-story house, so she has to do steps. Two-story house, same house she and my dad built in 1950. So brought her home, and I was there to help that transition, and then Linda was there for the week. But the idea came in being in the presence of the Lord, saying, God, show us what to do, you see. The psalmist writes in Psalm 16, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And Bill Johnson says, we're often more convinced of our unworthiness than we are of his worth. Our inability takes on greater focus than does his ability. See? And so, you know, all of you can think of times that you've been in the Lord's presence and places, and that's the beauty of it. We don't have to go to the temple, okay? You know, it's not like we have to keep the ministry center here open 24/7, and it's the only place you're going to know the Lord's presence, you know? For all of us, it might be different. You might have a favorite chair to sit in. You might have a favorite position to take. You might have a favorite whatever, worship music to listen. I can think, and I'm sure you can too, of times when I was in God's presence that was, I mean, I can remember being at 38,000 feet flying over the ocean with a blanket over my head and worship music in my ears and just in the presence of God. And, you know, somehow being at 38,000 feet, I felt I was closer to God, you know. And I can remember being several times and trips to Indonesia where I just said, I just need to get away to the team and just being alone with God and just having him just come and visit me on my face before him. I can remember a similar situation in Nicaragua, one of my trips there. Out, everybody, the rest of the group had gone somewhere. I was alone and just finding myself entering into the Lord's presence in a powerful way. I can remember even in my home one time where I just felt the Lord impress me to pray for Israel. That's not an unusual thing, I know, but for against abortion in Israel. That was the prayer. It's really a strange thing. And I just was on my face weeping before God, praying. So we all know there are times like that. But what is it about the presence? Well, I believe it's Jesus. He is the difference. Mark chapter 7. From there, Jesus and his followers traveled to the region of Tyre on the Mediterranean coast. He hoped to slip unnoticed into the house, but the people discovered his what? His presence. Now, I'm going to take some liberty here. If you look in other translations, they discovered that he was there, that he was in the house, that he was, you know, it's like he was in the room. Okay, we know he's there. But I believe there's something more. Okay, I believe there was something about his presence. What happened when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment? He said, what? Something left me, right? Yeah. She touched his presence. And I believe that when we're with Jesus, that we find an aspect of his presence that brings transformation to our lives. What happened here? Well, shortly afterwards, a woman appeared. Her daughter was filled with an unclean spirit. And she came to Jesus and she said she wasn't a Jew. And Jesus at that time was only ministering to the Jews, almost primarily, not completely, not exclusively, but pretty much so. So she begged him to cast the spirit out of her daughter. This is the Voice translation. I love the way it says, Jesus shaking his head. I must feed the children first. It would do no good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. The woman, yes, Lord, but even the dogs, she's a Gentile woman, even the dogs under the table may eat of the children's crumbs. And then Jesus smiling and nodding, I like that. This is a wise saying. Other translations say he was amazed at her faith. Go back home, your daughter. Your daughter is free of the spirit that troubled her. And when she returned to her house, she discovered that it was as Jesus had told her. Her daughter lay on her bed in her right mind, whole and healthy. So what does, little audience participation here, what does the presence of Jesus bring?
Change,
okay? Change. What else? Faith. Peace. Shalom. And I want us to use that word as often as we can, shalom, because I believe that that gets to the root of God's supernatural peace. There's something about that word. Peace, shalom. Yeah, what else? Revelation. Healing. Acceptance. Clarity. Rest. Where did I hear that? Thank you. Rest. Marge, there we go. I didn't see you, Marge. Hiding back there. Hi, Marge. Yes, Sue. Reconciliation. Wow. Gosh, you guys are good. Joy. Repentance, comfort, acceptance, freedom, strength. Hello. Now, I mean, you all are wonderful. I mean, I was going to write all these things down. I thought, hey, you guys know this better than I do. You've proved it. So if that's true, why would we want anything less? Why would we want to be anywhere else other than in the presence of the Lord? If these are what we receive from Jesus, the list that you just gave, then why is it that we'd want to be somewhere else? There's an individual aspect to this, and there's a corporate aspect to this. There's times, and we've all experienced it, and we've experienced it to some degree this morning. Every Sunday we experience it to a degree. There's times when God's presence is so thick that you feel like you need a knife to cut it. It's just so thick. His presence. Well, I want to close by sharing with you, I'm so happy about this. I found a brand new song. It's only been out 2 weeks. By Kim Walker Smith, titled In Your Presence. So, I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. It's even got the chords, Chris, so you can...
When your spirit rushes in and a holy hush falls on us again, it is so far beyond the song. It's heaven on earth. With our hearts surrendered here, come and breathe on us and change the atmosphere. We are in awe of who you are. You're heaven on earth.
Powerful, huh? Wow. Wow. You know, if there's something keeping you from just joining in God's presence and joining with the saints that we want to walk with and pursuing these things of reconciliation, of walking with men and women of different color, of different backgrounds, of different ways of walking. I want to just repeat the words of Lou Engle yesterday. Three words. Let it go. Just let it go, huh? Just let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. Get over it. Yeah. Let it go. You know? We're not God, right? Anybody in here God? And I missed it. Did he sneak in and I missed it somehow? Anybody? Okay. We're not God. Just let it go. Life's too short. Yeah. That's another good. Life's too short. Another three. Yeah. Come with a lot of these. Yeah. So just let it go. Let's just enter into what God has for us, huh? Just walk in it, enjoy it, bask in it, allow it to just, who is it? Christy was talking about the mist. Just let the mist just settle over you and just enjoy it. But that church over there, they're doing this or they're not doing, don't worry about it, okay? Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. You know, that preacher, I don't like the way he talks, what he says, you know. The way he does it. I get it. I feel that way too sometimes, but just let it go. You know, let it go. You know, just let it go. You know. Yeah. How many of you want to align yourself with God's purposes this morning, huh? Yeah. Well, let's stand with me, please. Just let's stand together. Lord, we thank you that life is a journey, and you walk with us on that journey, and we have the honor and privilege of walking with you as we journey through this life. And so, Lord, we each of us has an individual journey that we're making, a destiny, a purpose, a plan that you have for each of our lives. But corporately, we also have a journey as a community of faith, as brothers and sisters who are joined together. And Lord, even in the midst of all of us, of all the men and women that consider themselves a part of New Heritage, if we were to have a survey of what everybody believed, I don't think we'd all line up perfectly. All the if it's one of those computer graded ones where you circle the little boxes, I don't think all those boxes would be in alignment. But that's okay. We're in alignment with Jesus. That's the most important thing. And in that, I believe we're together. We're in alignment with Jesus. And we want to walk with you, Lord. We want to follow the path that you've placed for us. I like in Psalm 85, verse 13, in the King James Version, it says, "You step before us, and we walk in your steps." I love that. Lord, we want to do that. We want to walk in your steps as you lead us. And God, we believe that a clarion call was made yesterday, that a declaration was made to the heavens. And it was heard all over the world as people were watching and listening literally, literally from all over the world. And that declaration said, we're going to be reconciled. We're going to be reconciled with our Native American brothers and sisters. We're going to be reconciled with our African-American brothers and sisters. We're going to be reconciled with our Asian brothers and sisters. We're going to be reconciled with our Latino brothers and sisters. We're going to be reconciled with people of different races, of different cultures, with one purpose, and that's Jesus. God, help us to not just give mental assent to these ideas, but to actually put feet to them, Lord. To be proactive, to invest ourselves in the lives of other people, Jesus, help us. We need your grace, Lord. We need it to do this. We need it every day. But we thank you, Lord, that it's a limitless, unlimited supply. You never run out of grace. You don't say to us, well, I'm sorry, you used up your portion for today. There's no more left. Or you used up your portion for the year. I'm sorry. You're going to have to go the next 3 months without grace. That's right. No more. It's like the scripture said, it's new every morning. It's like that manna that was new every morning for your children of Israel. Every morning it's new. We can receive your grace, Lord. Thank you. So God, we ask for that now. Give us your grace, Lord. Help us to walk this out in the days, weeks, months, and even the years ahead. God, I pray that as much as you've changed us over these years, that we'd even be that much more different. Not just for the sake of being different, but the sake of being conformed to your image, to your likeness, to your plan, for your purpose for us, Lord. That's what we want, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for the joy and privilege of walking with these brothers and sisters, with these men and women. God, it's just so wonderful. It's so awesome. I just thank you for each one, Lord. Those here this morning and those who couldn't be here, Lord, thank you. Lord, you're so good. Thank you. And I know there'll be others joining us as we make this journey together. And I thank you for them, names and faces we don't even know right now. I thank you, Lord. In fact, I pray that prayer we've been taught, Lord, release from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west, those people whom you've called to be part of this community, of New Heritage Community, Lord. We want to walk together, Lord, in your purposes. And Lord, we do thank you for the other churches who are laboring in this vineyard, Lord. We thank you. We say blessing. We speak blessing. We speak blessing. I just invite you right now to turn to the back wall, which would be the west, and let's just pray to the west. We bless all those churches nearby and far away, but especially thinking of those in our area that Lord, that call on the name of Jesus, Lord, regardless of what denomination they may be, Lord, we say blessing. Blessing upon them. Yeah, let's turn to your right there and let's face the wall to the north. Lord, we bless those churches to the north, Lord. Even as they're assembling also today, Father, we bless them, all the men and women who are part of those churches, Lord. The saints, our brothers and sisters, we bless them. Let's turn to the other wall here, Lord, to the east. Lord, we bless those to the east of us, Father, towards Baltimore City. Lord, we bless your churches there, Lord. We bless your churches to the east of us, God. Each and every one, each and every member, each and every person who calls himself a part of that congregation, that church, that assembly. And let's look now to the south, to the wall where our worship team is. Lord, we just bless those churches, Lord, to the south of us. And we just speak your blessing on them, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we're laboring together for a common purpose of seeing your kingdom come and your will being done in this region. Thank you, God. Bless them, we pray. Bless them, we ask. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, now I just pray your blessing on my brothers and sisters as we leave here today, Lord. Pray you'd bless them and keep them, Father. I pray you'd make your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance upon them, O God. Grant them your shalom, your peace. And God, as we walk forth, as we go forth from here, as we leave this place, Lord, give us those divine appointments that grant us that opportunity to share your love and your life. And even as John Mercier was playing this morning, Lord, give us the courage to share it, Lord. Give us the wherewithal to say no to other things that could keep us, that being tired or being busy or whatever it might be, God, that we might be able to be your instruments of grace, your dispensers of grace, your ambassadors, your witnesses in this earth. And for all this, we thank you. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let's go forth.